In this episode, we are going to talk about investing in your employees' well-being. Not only is it good for business, it is good for safety and health as well. Consider that well-being is no longer an individual matter, but an organizational one, and that 47% of employees feel worried and 24% feel lonely in the workplace. We're going to get into all of this in this episode.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
As mentioned, we are going to talk about well-being. We're going to talk about the relationship it has with safety and health, the emphasis being on health, but it's something that safety professionals were all concerned about, right? So we're going to get into that. And I am going to reference an article from our friends over at Gallup. Yes, Gallup surveys, Gallup organization, the great resources they provide. They're very valuable. I would encourage all of you to subscribe to their email. They will send out links to articles that they publish. I have no affiliation with the Gallup organization. It's just a tool, a resource I use as a professional that I think you should use as well. So we're going to reference that article that talks about well-being and how businesses need to invest in employee well-being. We're going to reference that. I'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. But look, you know, they launch right into it and make no bones about it. You know, the world's largest work-from-home experiment, also known as COVID, right, has presented us with a lot of challenges. You know, that's not overstating it, I don't think. I think a lot of us understand, you know, or appreciate either ourselves being impacted or knowing people close to us that have been impacted by this, right? These challenges, they range from, you know, just the company struggling with how they're going to continue to operate while having workers, employees, work remotely, some being on site, some not, and often how it impacts their well-being. Now, look, let's be honest, employees' well-being, that's not going to be a leader's first consideration or priority. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just something that I don't think gets enough attention in business today. And that's something as safety professionals, we can kind of help with, right? So we need to be really, really in tune to this topic, this subject. We need to become the subject matter experts and really champion on behalf of the employees this concept of investing, organizations investing in employee well-being. Now, Gallup acknowledges that it may be easy to dismiss well-being as simply being like a personal matter, right? And that may have been in the past, but top leaders and managers who emphasize it do see significant returns on that investment. Employees with high well-being, they're more resilient during widespread or personal tough times, you know, like COVID or a bad economy or something like that. They are less likely to have unplanned days out of the office or away from work and have better performance than those with low well-being. So, you know, we know there's a direct relationship just with performance, and we can see already how this can translate to potential safety concerns or health concerns. The Gallup data told them that remote workers have experienced well-being challenges, including ergonomics, low back pain, poor mental and emotional well-being, less exercise, low self-care, fewer social connections. I mean, it goes on and on, right? So we're going to get into how leaders can address each of these relevant topics with their teams and the rest of their organization. So let's start with stress and mental well-being. It's a topic that's been on all of our minds, I'm sure, recently, and for good reason. It should stay top of mind because the fact that, you know, we're going through a lot of these challenges as it relates to a global pandemic, the associated financial impact it has on industries, the outlook on your you know, whether or not you have a job. I mean, it's key, right? Look, on average, only 5% of employees actually reach out to their employee assistance program. That's annually, 5%. Yet many people, workers, they're experiencing mental stressors, right? The data from this past May showed that about half, right around 47% of employees felt worried, and 24% felt lonely, as I stated at the beginning of the podcast episode. Lonely, and this, they categorize this. Like, what does that mean? That means that during a lot of the day yesterday, I mean, it was that pressing and relevant that it was like, oh no, not in general, from time to time, like yesterday. They're experiencing this now. Leaders can encourage EAP utilization by bringing in experts to discuss it, having Zoom calls or, you know, Skype meetings or video conferencing with these, you know, throughout the week to kind of help break up the day-to-day, week-to-week monotony of their normal job and kind of, you know, siphon off some of that focus that we have for our role and redirect that into learning about how to engage with each other, how to deal with some of these stressors, even remotely. Look, businesses can do a better job at identifying champions of mental health, even within the organization or with their partners, right? And consistently communicating about program benefits. They don't need to, your leaders and managers and supervisors, they don't need to be mental health experts, right? They just need to be a conduit to the right resources that these employees need. So, you know, stress and mental well-being, right out of the gate, what resources or tools do we provide that our employees are not utilizing, they're underutilizing, or they just don't know about? How do we get that in front of them in positive and productive ways? How do we do that? That's what we should focus on. How about social well-being? Zoom and Skype, they've been helpful. They keep us connected, right? Especially on a team level, help strengthen team relationships by getting on these calls daily or weekly, right? We have an opportunity to see each other in our homes and kind of the dogs barking and kids running around. It kind of humanizes us, right? It does. It lets us be a little more vulnerable, even our managers or supervisors. When, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm seeing somebody, a senior level, you know, sitting in their home and their dog's going nuts because, you know, the mail carrier showed up or something like that. You know, that's, I laugh because it's like, wow, that's my life every day with my dog, right? It's this crazy dog. So, you know, it does help on some level there, the social well-being, but we still crave that sort of human connection. We're social animals. This is not normal for the lion's share of people, right? We want to have that aspect of social well-being, have it be physical, like not physical as in proximity or touching, shaking hands and high fives, but just physically being in the same space as somebody, even if it's outdoors, just physically seeing each other. There's something about that that just, it helps with social well-being. So how do we create a work environment that's conducive to friendship, right? You know, making those connections. And we can still do this using, you know, Skype and Zoom, things like having a team meeting where maybe you don't do an offsite or a team building thing like we did in the past, but maybe you do it virtually where there is no work discussion or work agenda. Gallup finds, this is interesting, check this out. Gallup found that women who strongly agree that they have a best friend at work are twice as likely to be engaged as those who say otherwise. Strong social connections outside of work are essential as well, so don't discount those. And leaders and managers should ask employees about their friends and loved ones and ask employees to share stories about time that they spend away from work to demonstrate that their authentic care, right? That, hey, look, I actually care about you as a person, not as a worker, not as a team member. But, you know, how are the kids? And I know there's a line, any HR people listening to this are probably freaking out. But look, you know, what's wrong with acknowledging the fact that somebody has children or has pets or has a partner or has a significant other or is taking care of their mother or their father or something like that, right? Get to know them as people, and they will acknowledge that, you know, they're being treated like a person. And that's so social well-being is another aspect here that a lot of folks overlook. Physical activity. I think we can all agree that I have seen so many memes about COVID weight that people have put on, right? This is my COVID weight. Physical activity, you know, one of the best ways to sustain your team's physical well-being is provide some sort of organizational wellness program or tips or information on how to stay active while working remotely. Actively take part in initiatives to do like virtual walks, virtual 5Ks. Everybody get on your, whether it's Nike or some other running app or activity app that you can build a community around that you all agree that we'll all kind of follow each other to hold each other accountable. Post your steps for that day, do a step challenge. Those are all simple things that businesses and leaders and managers can do to help promote physical activity. And, you know, look, when leaders are involved, it gives the green light to individuals to experiment with new ways to move and live healthy lives, right? You know, go canoeing if weather permits, or maybe you go on a bike ride and you share your route and where you went and things like that. You can open up team calls with, hey, we're going to do physical activity, you know, of the week. Everybody goes around before we get into our team call, talks about one physical activity you engaged in this week and how others could benefit from it. Go, you know, or something like that, right? So that physical activity. Another aspect that it has to do with our physical health is ergonomics. You know, we've seen a spike in ergonomic issues as folks went from the office to the home, and you may not be set up properly to work from home, right? So the home office, sometimes it's not really an office. It's literally the kitchen table. You know, the breakfast bar in the kitchen with the stool, the wooden stool, and it's like, that's terrible to sit on for any extended period of time, let alone just get through breakfast on that thing. So ergonomics. Many of us have settled into chairs and workspaces that don't meet our needs. And keep this in mind, 1 in 2 individuals in the U.S. have a musculoskeletal condition, or MSD, that costs about $213 billion each year in healthcare and lost productivity. 1 in 2. $213 billion with a B. In healthcare and lost productivity combined. So look, even if leaders can't immediately offer home ergonomic solutions that they can purchase and expense, but you know, they can help workers by sharing free resources like professional videos, advice about reducing the risk and severity of ergonomic issues at home, you know, things they can, you know, roll up a towel to use as a wrist rest for the keyboard, you know, things like that. I encourage you as safety professionals, feed some of these resources to business leaders and any consultants that are on the podcast here that are avid listeners. You want to, you know, endear yourself to potential, I'm using air quotes here, potential clients or customers. Give stuff away. Yep, I'm just going to tell you right now, there is no reason why you can't send a blog post or an article about like the top 3 ergonomic fixes that you can do at home right now, or I don't know, something like that, that they can then share with their employees. So this is something that we should be able to do as safety professionals for our community, okay? Self-care is another concern. Prioritizing individual well-being over a long list of responsibilities is easier said than done for many leaders, but leaders have to communicate that self-care, it includes a range of things like going to your health screening. Did you do your annual checkup? What about just overall relaxing? What about, you know, we talked about exercise, but like self-care, like your health. That, you know, that Breast Cancer Awareness Month just ended, and I did a quick little episode for that. I was shocked that there was almost a 20, it was probably more than that now at this point, 25% reduction in mammograms being scheduled since the pandemic, women not getting their screenings. So, you know, that's just one example of the impact that something like this has had on self-care. So let's not let that slide, okay? We have options. We have telemedicine. We can do, you know, the remote chat with the doctors, but you should be still engaging in taking care of our health. Gallup research found that those who spent more time using their strengths experienced less worry, stress, anger, sadness, and pain. Intentionally using your strengths, you know, what you're really, really good at can help, can have an impact on your physical well-being, but also your mental health and your overall medical health. Well-being is not something leaders can afford to overlook. To the contrary, actually, right? It's more important than ever right now. So leaders who start prioritizing employee well-being will start seeing how it correlates with employee engagement and in turn, a host of personal and business outcomes, one of which being safety and health. We'll have employees that are less prone to injury or illness on the job or even off the job. You know, we all pay a lot of lip service as safety professionals about off-the-job safety and health. And maybe we share something about how to use a ladder at home when hanging up Christmas lights. But, you know, we can do better than that, okay? We can do way better than that as safety professionals with off-the-job safety and health, okay? I think we should start saying health and well-being. So what is that? EHSNW, employee health, safety, and well-being. So, yeah, we should start using these terms more often in our posts, in our conversations, and in our comments and feedback we have with senior leaders and managers. We need to be pulsing how good we are at focusing on our employees' well-being. So the link to this article is in the show notes. It's got some really good tips. I think that we have to do a better job at this, and I want to hear from you. Check out the post for this episode on LinkedIn. Go to my profile page, look for the post on this, and I want to hear from you. What tips do you have that you've seen or done that leaders have improved well-being and have kept in touch with those that are working remotely and even those that are still in the workplace? You know, they're not seeing some of their coworkers anymore. Some have been remote, some have tested positive for COVID and they're quarantined and they're not there and they're picking up the load. It's hard on everybody. They're stressed just going to work and back, wondering if they're going to get it. It's very stressful. So well-being is really, really important right now. It should be a major part of our workplace health and safety programs and approach. And also talking about getting, you know, folks that are still at work, don't forget to check out the previous episode, three or so ago, about your plan to reopen. Even if you've been open for a while, check out that episode. Really good tips and information on how to set your workplace up for success. And I mean safety and health success, and also instill confidence in the employees that are still there or are returning to the workplace. And a big part of that is just marking your facility and signs and labels and floor tape for social distancing and some instructional signs on what symptoms you might be experiencing, under what conditions you should not be returning to work and things like that. Our friends over there at Mighty Line Tape, they have some great products specifically designed for this purpose in your facility. So go ahead and check out that episode or check out Mighty Line Tape for more information. There, they've shared with me a whole bunch of stuff that they're working on right now and making available to folks like you. So go ahead and check that out as well. I enjoy seeing your comments on LinkedIn, so keep those coming, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.